Hello and welcome to episode 46 of Radio Free Nintendo. I'm your host, Carl Castaneda. Mike Sklantz once again has the night off. I've got two guests with me right here. First up, again from last week, Stan Ferguson.
Hello.
And my favorite reviews editor in the whole wide world, Johnny Metz.
I'm back!
He's back.
In the saddle again.
I didn't want to go through all that, Stan, but thanks.
But we went there anyway. All right, guys, let's kick it right off. Johnny, what's your plan?
Man, I've been playing a lot this week. It's been my spring break, and I didn't go anywhere because I'm broke. Mm. So I did a little research at school, but mainly I played PS2. So I beat, last week, I got God of War last week, and I played through up to near the very end of it, and then I took several days off of it because I got very frustrated by this long string of battles near the end, and anybody who's played the game will know exactly which part I'm talking about. It's incredibly frustrating and basically bad, and it's it should not be in the game. But I finally plowed through it this morning, and I beat God of War 2, and people are riding motorcycles right outside my window. Anyway, and I also beat Final Fantasy XII today.
Nice. Ooh. What did you think?
Pretty good ending, I guess. I don't know. The last few bosses were pretty easy, but I had done a lot of stuff to power up, so I was expecting that, really.
Yeah, did you get the elite marks?
I did not all of them. I didn't beat Gilgamesh. I beat him the first time, but not the second time. And I just got to a point where I was 80 hours in, and I just felt like, you know, I'm just not all that enthusiastic about doing any more side quests. I got all the optional espers and all that stuff, but I didn't...
Wow.
There were some sections of the... There were, like, some map sections that I never went to, like the... Nabudian ruins or whatever.
Oh yeah, that place is pretty badass.
Yeah, so I didn't go to a lot of that stuff. But anyway, I'm also reviewing a GBA game called Drake and Josh, which is based on a Nickelodeon show.
Ooh.
And I had not intended to actually watch the show for the review, but actually I was watching TV today and I saw it on the channel guide. So I thought, okay, I'll pay the price. And I watched a couple episodes of it, and I guess it's a pretty typical Nickelodeon or Disney Channel show for young people.
Mm.
It's all very
bland.
Damn those
young people.
The game has virtually nothing to do with the show, so... And
awesome.
The game is not completely awful, it's just very boring, and... the other thing about it is, and this is like, and right off the bat, is a really bad mark on the game when someone like me is reviewing it, but the game has password saving.
Oh, ooh. No.
In this day and age, let me just throw this out here. The first console game with like battery-powered save was Legend of Zelda, which I believe came out in America in 1987.
87. Yeah.
20 years ago. And we still have games coming out with password saves.
Right.
And really, I must protest.
That's cheap.
It's sickening. It's really pathetic. It's really, really sad in this day and age that we still have this stuff.
I remember password saving kind of made a comeback in the mid-90s when PS1 games first came out, because not everyone could get a memory card. Yeah, I remember saving my Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero passwords.
Oh, wow. God.
I love that game. You shut the hell up.
Dude, that game is not worth restarting.
Oh, that's
I mean, you should have played it once and said, no, I don't even need to write down a password. I'm never playing this again.
Well, he was so much younger then.
Here's how... No, hey, come on, guys. Come on. When I got the game, I think I was 8.
Everything is good when you're 8.
Look. I love that game so much. I still remember the password to the wind level.
Wow.
THWMSB. That's dedication.
That is.
It's dedication. And I love that game. So screw you guys.
Okay.
But Stan, have you been playing Wii? Are you still World?
No,
of
I really haven't been playing anything this week. I've been watching Frisky Dingo on Adult Swim Fix and YouTube. That's pretty much what I've been doing since I get home from work. I've been watching that this week.
Is
and yesterday in Friday I was helping my brother move into his new house, which was I'm paying for today. Ah. Sore as hell. And yes, Frisky Dingo is hilarious.
Maybe I'll give it a shot.
I've never heard of it.
It's this new series, and you kind of have to watch it from episode 1 to episode 13 because it actually goes in a series. But you can do that on YouTube. Watch all of them.
Sweet. But as for what I have been playing, I'm still on Zelda. I'm playing through Snowpeak Ruins right now.
Oh, that's my favorite dungeon in that game. It's one of my favorite Zelda dungeons ever.
It's really cool. It's different. That's why I like it.
It's really hard, too.
It is hard, yeah. The I'm in the middle right now of the second block puzzle. And it's just really throwing me. I have no idea how to get that second switch.
But I won't name names, but back in November when I had my Wii, I got it early, and I was reviewing Zelda and trying to... I played through Zelda in a week, if you can imagine that. And it was... And I think I had finals that week, too. It was rough, man. I wasn't sleeping very much that week. And... You know, I know quite a few other website editors and people like that who also had the game early, and we were kind of trading hints back and forth whenever we got stuck. And the part that I got stuck on really bad, and basically nobody could, it's so complicated that nobody could really help me with it. I just kind of had to plow through it. Was the puzzle when you're trying to get the Master Sword, moving those statues around?
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I've heard some people who said they got it on, like, the first try, but I think that's just luck, because I found that one to be really nasty. But the second block puzzle in that snow dungeon, I'm not going to name people's names, but I knew more than one person who was really freaking out to me over the internet because they couldn't get past that puzzle. And I don't. The block puzzles, to me, were pretty easy. The statue one was, like, just... I don't know, my brain just doesn't think that way with the statues, I guess.
The statue one took me a while, but I got it eventually. It took me, I think, I had to try it a few times. I had to restart it to get it to go, but eventually it kind of fell into place. All of those, like, move statues around, like, move these tiles into place, I hate those puzzles, though, man. Those are my least favorite. I could never, like, you know those little things you get, like, at, like, gas stations and for Halloween, like, move these tiles into place and make the picture?
Oh, yeah.
I could never do those as a kid.
I don't like those as much, but I like the Zelda style where you... Especially the ones in the snow dungeon where they're on ice and it involves kind of setting things up. Because, what was that game? Tales of Symphonia had a lot of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do remember that.
And another really good example, if you do like that kind of puzzle, there's a Super Nintendo game from Enix called Brain Lord. And it's kind of an interesting Zelda-style game for Super NES, but it has really nasty block puzzles. And hopefully that'll get released on Virtual Console sometime, because I always liked that game when I was younger.
Cool. All right, so I think that about wraps us up for what you've been playing. We're going to move on to community. First up, Virtual Console Mondays. Last week, Romance of the Three Kingdoms 4 was released.
Hot.
Does anybody care? Really?
Niche goodness, man. Niche goodness.
You know what? That stupid game. Now, I never played that specific iteration, but I remember Nobunaga's Ambition on NES.
Yeah.
And that damn thing was addictive. Trying to get all it is math.
Right.
I mean, literally, there was nothing on the screen, essentially. And you just tried to get everything built up and control the entire kingdom. I can see how people can get into it, but it really is a dull, dull game.
Well, it got a recommended for fans by Wendy because it's so very hardcore, I guess.
Yes, it is.
And but, you know, that's a very niche game. There's not much we can say about it, but... They did reveal this week the April VC lineup for Japan, and there were some real cool games in there. Punch-Out.
Nice.
Final Fight. Gradius 2. Kirby's Dream Course. Bonk's Revenge. I know Aaron's going to be all over that one. And Star Fox 64, which I am so psyched to play.
Dude, it's the best Star Fox.
I'm so psyched.
And I'm so excited. When they first announced that N64 games are going to be on Virtual Console, that was one of the first games that popped in my head that I really want this game to come out because it's fantastic. I haven't played it in a long time, but man, it's great.
Sweet.
I understand that Final Fight wasn't all that great on the SNES, though.
Really? I thought that, maybe it was another
iteration. It's kind of a gimped version because it doesn't have Cody in it.
It doesn't have Poison either.
Or is it Guy? The guy in the red, the kind of ninja-style guy.
Well, it doesn't have Poison either, which is a really sad thing for Ty.
Is that one of the enemies?
It's the guy who looks like a girl, the transvestite.
Oh, God.
That he uses that. Almost always as his avatar.
Well, historically, that makes sense that would have been taken out of the Super Nintendo version because back, that was the age of Mortal Kombat being censored right. on Super Nintendo and things like that. But to take out one of the three playable characters, I find it kind of unbelievable. I mean, I remember playing Final Fight on Super Nintendo, and it's a fun game, but it's definitely better in the arcade. Much better.
Yeah, and there's a lot of better versions that you can get that are cheaper.
Right.
Not cheaper, but pretty cheap.
Alrighty, well, we're going to go ahead and move on to our listener mail. And today we've got a letter from Frank, and he says, "Hey guys, I really like your show,
Frank.
but I'd like to start listening to some other gaming podcasts as well. What the hell, we're not enough for you? Do you guys listen to any, and if so, which ones do you recommend?"
The Wire!
The Wire. That's I don't know, should we explain the backstory to that?
Well, I don't know, Stan, do you actually listen to that?
No, I tried to. I've never heard it. I tried to one time, but I couldn't, and I know Evan really likes it, though.
Oh. Yeah, Evan does like The Wire. But
that's
I mean, the
not
reason
much of
Stan...
an endorsement.
Evan thought The Wire was what we should aspire to be.
Hmm. Ooh. But yeah, the reason that Stan's calling them out is because they're always really high on the iTunes ranks, and and he thought they were conspiring against us or something. I don't know, something weird.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they've been broadcasting since like summer of 2005.
Yeah, so they have been around for a long time.
Yeah, they're probably the oldest Nintendo-centric podcast. I mean, they really got started right when podcasting became, became a word, and and that helps a lot. The way iTunes computes their rankings has a lot to do with number of episodes and number of total downloads, which is related to number of episodes, things like that.
Right, but yeah, I've actually listened to an episode recently, and it's a really good show. So if you need more Nintendo goodness, I guess you couldn't go wrong with them.
One Up Yours.
One Up Yours is my favorite.
It's
One Up Yours
best.
Is my favorite podcast.
Yeah, it's the best because they're all in the same room and they all hate each other and they get drunk and they cuss a lot and it's completely hilarious. I mean, I don't know if. Some weeks it's very informative. A lot of weeks it's just people yelling at each other, but it's so funny. And the longer that you listen to it, the funnier it is because you get to kind of know the characters and you...
Yeah.
It's kind of like watching a TV series, and the more familiar you get with it, the funnier it gets.
We got to get Luke Smith on the show.
Yeah, we do, man. I would love it. The problem is he hates Nintendo, so...
Exactly why.
Well, actually, that might be exactly why he would come on the show.
Yes. I have to give a shout out to the Player One podcast because not only do they have ties with us through Mike Sklenz, who is one of their guy's older roommates. Also, I know Chris Johnson, who's on that podcast, listens a lot to Radio Free Nintendo, and he's given us shout outs from time to time. So, Chris, if you're listening, good podcast. I actually listen to a lot of podcasts, so I won't go ahead and say all of them, but. There's also the CADcast from Cheap Ass Gamer. Retronauts. Retronauts is great. That's all about obviously classic gaming. It's got Jeremy Parrish and Chris Kohler on there. It's a really well put together show.
The last episode was a little painful to listen to because the topic was Sega Master System. And you could tell that only maybe two out of the four guys on there had really played the Master System, and none of them actually liked it. So they spent the entire time trying to talk about other things, basically.
But there actually was a new episode last Thursday, I think. What was their topic?
Oh, I haven't heard that one yet.
It was emulation.
Yeah, okay.
And that was a good one. I liked it.
Go ahead, Sam. I was just going to say, for whatever reason, I listen to one specific podcast, but it's only about movies, bad movies, and mm-hmm. cult movies in particular. I don't know why, but that is the only podcast I will listen to faithfully.
Guess what?
Yeah. I never really got into the gaming ones except for One Up Yours and, of course, ours.
Well, I also listen to The Hotspot, which is done by GameSpot.com, and mm-hmm. I always have to catch myself because I'm afraid I'm going to say GameStop.com.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those guys are pretty funny. They're not nearly as vitriolic as One Up Yours, and they basically just do news, so they kind of stretch the news out a lot longer than One Up Yours, and they have mm-hmm. some pretty funny voicemails usually. And basically that entire show is about Jeff Gerstmann because he's really funny and he does a lot of silly voices and things, and he's really the star nice. Of the show. And I also listen to The New Adventures of Gaffcast, and I don't know if I would really recommend it because it's very unfocused and kind of a lot of rambling, and the only really consistently interesting part about it, they do have sometimes really really cool segments, but the consistently interesting part about it is that all the guys who recorded, at least now, it was different originally, but now the current iteration of it, they all live in Japan and they all go to this one guy's house to meet up and record the podcast, and there's a section where they take questions from NeoGAF. They take questions about living in Japan. And so if you're interested in Japanese lifestyle and culture and what it's like to be an American or European living in Japan and what it's like when you first get there, things like that, issues that they deal with, that part is really interesting, but you have to – they tend to be pretty long podcasts, and that's a small portion of it.
All right, so yeah, plenty of podcasts out there for you to listen to if you like games.
Lots.
There's really no shortage of them.
Check out iTunes. Lots of stuff on iTunes.
They're all there.
Good stuff.
All right, that wraps us up for community. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the news. Lots of stuff to talk about, so see you in a second.
Nintendo World Report's Radio Trivia, annoying you Friday nights.
All right, and we're back. Plenty of news to talk about, so let's kick it off. First up, we talked about this a couple episodes ago, but now it's confirmed. Nights 2 on Wii, a magazine from Portugal, whose name I can't remember. I think it's Maxi Consolus. Confirmed.
It's Maxi Comforted.
Really?
Kind of strange, but yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. They had some screens of it, and it looks kind of cool. Now, Stan, I know you read the interview that went along with the news.
I read most of it.
What did it say?
Just said that it was coming out. I mean, that's about as far as I got. I mean, just some little minor things, like they asked, "What about the Wii? The Nintendo." We attracted you to the game, to the console, and he was like, the advanced technology. You know, this technology wasn't available years ago. Okay.
Yes, it was, though.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe he was talking about controller tech.
I hope maybe. So.
Yeah, me too. But, I mean, he is the original lead designer from Knights the First.
And he also directed Sonic Heroes and...
Well, you know, you win some, you lose some. Sometimes you lose some.
And Shadow? Was it Shadow that he directed too?
Surely sometimes not. You lose a lot, you know?
No, I know he did Sonic Heroes, but...
He did Sonic Heroes, he did Shadow. He, I think, also had a hand in Sonic the Hedgehog on 360.
Nice.
It's a little scary.
Nice.
Well, that's a bomb, but but no,
cool
I think
the game has online features.
It does.
Oh, it's about time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still not coming out for a long time, but when it does, it'll have online features. Well, hey, good. By the way, I just thought of something. The translation, because the magazine scans were put up by Jeux France, and right. they had some commentary about it as well. And then a lot of our information came through, well, it came through multiple sources, but some of it came through a Babelfish translation of Jeux France, which they always put, like, a link to on their pages for English-speaking readers. So it's like, basically they endorse reading the site that way. But I'm thinking, if the name of the magazine really is Maxi Consoles, like yeah. consoles, maybe Babelfish translated it into Maxi Comforted because it looked at the word console and read it as console, as in the verb.
Oh,
which means the same as comforted.
Yeah, I was pretty sure it was console. I mean, there's another one in Spain called Hobby Consolas, and Hobby Comfort doesn't mean anything.
That's probably what happened. You know? Whoa, Stan.
Whoa. Take it breathe. Down a notch there, buddy.
Breathe in, breathe,
buddy,
out.
Breathe.
I thought you were just making a joke. I didn't realize that was the translation from Babelfish.
No, I think that's probably what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should change that in the article. I mean, I didn't think about it until just a minute ago when we were talking about it. And I'm thinking, how could it have gotten from consolus to comforted? Oh. Babelfish. I mean,
this magazine, it will console you.
Yes.
Well, like I said a couple weeks ago, it's a major coup for Nintendo in the sense that it gives them a lot of hardcore credibility. But as far as sales go, and I was talking about this with Stan earlier, it probably won't crack like 300,000.
I'd be lucky if it cracks 200,000. I mean, in the US, worldwide.
How much did the original sell? Not that much, I know.
Well, I mean, they're not,
the Saturn cell.
think they're banking on the success of the original game. I think I mean, that's not what it's about. You know, it's hard to judge it's hard to predict sales figures for a game this far out that we still know very little about. And you guys are basing that entirely upon the existing fan base for this series. But, you know, there are a lot of people like us, including the people here today, who have heard of the game but probably didn't really play much of the original, and those people are possible consumers for this. And then, you know, depending on the marketing job and the previews and everything, and you know, it could be a lot more than that. It just depends on how good the game turns out to be.
Yeah.
And it's Sega.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's Sonic Team, more to the point.
Yeah.
Cautiously optimistic.
I can't
imagine a crazy anime epic story applied to Knights.
Yeah. Nice. We're going to go ahead and jump to the next topic. It's surprisingly another game announcement. Team Ninja and Tecmo this week announced Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword announced for the DS in 3D. Yay. Awesome. Did any of us play Ninja Gaiden on Xbox? I didn't.
No.
I wanted to really badly, but I haven't gotten to yet.
I'll admit to it, I was afraid.
So, Johnny, are you going to play it on DS then? Or at least this version?
Totally, yeah. I love Ninja Gaiden. I played all of them back on NES, and I'm just generally a big fan of those action games like Devil May Cry, God of War, that kind of thing. So, you know, Castlevania. So Ninja Gaiden really fits in very well with those games, and mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what they do with it on DS. The graphics look very nice, and you know, we'll see. It doesn't feature volleyball, so it might be good.
It doesn't. Ninja Gaiden beach volleyball. But it, I've heard a lot of places report that it's a top-down game. But we were looking at the scans, and some perspectives actually were behind the back, and kind of a Prince of Persia kind of theme there going.
Yeah, I think the camera moves around a lot depending on what you're doing. So I think maybe the primary combat phases of the game are primarily overhead, but you can tell even from the early scans that there's a lot more to it than that. So,
right.
But supposedly the game is controlled entirely with a touchscreen. Is that right?
It is.
Wow.
Yeah, that should be really interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting is the right word for it. Yeah. Because I've seen footage of Ninja Gaiden, and it looks like a lot of moving around, mm-hmm. so...
Oh, if you're a ninja, you know.
If you are a ninja, sedentary. Then... Yeah. But again, cautiously optimistic. We are awaiting more info, and when we do, we'll probably put up a preview or something.
Yeah, but Team Ninja takes that property extremely seriously. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sure they won't, you know, just give it to D Team and just tell them, hey, try this out.
Hopefully not.
All right, and another game announcement this week. They just keep piling in. Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games announced for the Wii.
I can't wait to play Mario Curling.
It's the Summer Olympics, Stan.
Damn it!
It's the Summer Olympics?
Yeah, it's for 2008.
Oh.
Well, then I can't wait till the Winter Olympics so I can play Mario Curling.
Sonic Luge, can you feel it?
I mean, I think the game actually comes out this fall, or it's expected to, but it's themed around the 2008 Summer Games.
Mm.
And it's... at least IGN reported that they expect it to have some kind of online functionality, but that's not in the official announcement.
Well, that'd be basketball.
I think it'll make it in. I don't think it's too much of a pipe dream to think that it'll have online play. I think it'll have Mii integration.
Yeah, I bet.
That could be really fun.
At least for the spectators.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, how can you, like, in a fair race, put Mario up against Sonic, really? Is Mario going to have, like, rocket boots? Or maybe he'll have Flood to kind of propel him or something?
You know, if you get, like, a long jump thing going, Mario's got
the edge. Even then, that's not really fair.
Hey, Carl, you know, people were asking this question back when Mario appeared in NBA Street V3.
How can he move?
I think they kind of just basically shrugged it off and put him in there dunking with everybody else. So, you know, I don't expect there to be any kind of artifice involved here. I think basically Mario and Sonic are just going to run at the same speed.
Yeah.
Well, the speed will probably depend on how fast you move your arms up and down while holding the controllers.
That's possible. Yeah. That's. I hope they don't do it like Rayman Raving Rabbids did. That just made me tired.
Yeah.
Because you have to move the nunchuck up and down as well as the Wiimote, and it's just like, I don't want
to
play this.
Man, they should strap it to your thigh.
Strap it to your thigh?
or to your ankle. It could come with an ankle strap. And that would be useful in probably a lot of these games.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, see. I mean, the really exciting part about this is not how they're going to pull off these games, because you can pretty probably predict that fairly well. But I mean, the interesting part is Mario and Sonic are together in a game, and this has never, ever, ever happened before.
That's true.
Ten years too late, though.
Well...
10 years too late.
Yeah.
I mean, we may have lost a lot of respect for Sonic, but he is still a big marketing name, and Mario and Sonic being put in the same game is a big deal, business-wise. And it also... I think everybody has already thought of this, but it does kind of give you a little hope for Sonic being in Smash Brothers Brawl.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
It has to.
We'll see.
Well, it was a very popular April Fool's joke.
Now this, as I understand, is being developed by Sega with a producing credit to Miyamoto. So we're going to have to wait and see how that goes. Jeez, it just seems like we're all like... It's very touch and go with a lot of these games that we're talking about today. It's kind of like, I don't know, I want to believe, but it is Sega.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
and
they've earned
going
it.
Yeah, they did. It was all their fault.
Yep, they worked hard for that reputation.
Next down the line, another freaking game announcement. What the hell? What's with this, man? It's like third-party support is coming back or something. It's weird.
Yeah, this one's really shocking because we haven't had a wrestling game on... Nintendo in what, a year?
Yeah, it's been about 8 to 9 months, but I know Rick might be into this one. SmackDown versus Raw announced for Wii and DS.
Hot.
So I haven't played a wrestling game in years. Like the last one I played was on N64.
See, I just want to play as Doink the Clown.
As who?
Doink the Clown.
I don't even know who that is.
It's a clown. His name is Doink, yeah. He's a red.
I never would have
wrestling
guessed.
Clown. Wow. I mean, they're all clowns, but this one's an actual clown.
And supposedly this one will have online play, which is very nice to see.
Yeah, and from what I read, it sounds like the motion controls are going to be pretty interesting.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, suplexing is obviously a really natural motion for the nunchuck and Wiimote. You just kind of tilt them back, and there you go.
Yeah, and choke holds and all kinds of stuff.
I just hope they don't feel random.
Yeah,
I think that I'm not expecting 1-1 motion, but I think that the gestures will be pretty analog to their real counterparts.
Hopefully.
They need to be, because if they take the Marvel Ultimate Alliance route, I'm going to be, I'm just going to completely ignore this game. I mean, that would be a shame, you know. Swipe the controller left or right to do a power slam. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, you know. So they have to make some sense, or it's not fun. But this is interesting. I think it's, you know, it's odd because the last generation, THQ is very proud of the fact that they had a separate wrestling game on each system, and they developed each one individually as a series. They were all made by, they weren't necessarily made by different developers. I think the Day of Reckoning was made by the same guys who did SmackDown versus Raw. But had some major differences in the way the game was played and controlled. And I think somebody like Rick, especially, who is familiar with these games, from what I've gathered from the things that he said and written, it seems like a lot of people preferred the Day of Reckoning games on GameCube to SmackDown versus Raw. Even though they had fewer characters and fewer modes, the core gameplay, I think a lot of people preferred it. And I wonder if there might be a little bit of backlash from Nintendo wrestling fans, which are kind of a weird demographic, but they do exist.
All four of them.
No. Yeah. I mean, Day of Reckoning was a big seller. I mean,
was it?
You know, traditionally, wrestling games have done well on Nintendo systems, going back to at least the N64, and to some extent, even back further than that. So
better than most sports games.
Oh, by far, yeah.
That's weird.
All right, well, last up on the docket today is Nintendo is going to anchor E4. That's the E for All Festival of sorts that happens in October and is being put on by the same guys who put on Macworld.
Nice.
Well, good times.
Congrats to them, you know. Good thing. Nintendo needs the publicity right now.
They're going to have
a
presence there,
which is
cool. They need
to get those Wii selling.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny that you're hearing about all these, you know, Wii is supply constrained, and then they fill like a boat full of them for senior citizens. Did you guys hear about that
really?
News this week? Yeah, they put it on a Wii boat. they filled this like retirement boat cruise line with just Wiis.
Well, you heard about what GameStop has complained about Nintendo holding back on stock.
Yeah. And then Nintendo cleverly said, well, it's just GameStop. They're trying to get more units from us. I'm like, yeah, no shit.
they sell things. They like to make money. They don't like to have people call their store and to have to tell them no.
Yeah, I definitely was into that for a couple months when I was trying to get my Wii.
Yeah, coincidentally, that's exactly where I got my Wii, was at a GameStop. Yeah. Just randomly walked in there and they happened to have one left.
I eventually found out where Circuit City had their shipment day, and I just went there.
Nice.
Or at least I didn't go there, but the person who bought it for me went there.
Your runner?
my sister got it for me as a very, very late Christmas/Hanukkah gift.
Was this like Carl's sister full of grace? Did she swallow it and then poop it out later when she got home so nobody would steal it from her?
No, not quite. And only about 4 people are going to get that reference. But it's exactly. I admire the reference, though. That's very well put. Well said. But.
Contraband. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to resort to drastic measures.
Well, no, my sister did not smuggle a Wii back to me, but she did purchase it. And I enjoy it very much.
Glad to hear it.
Oh, this show has gone way off track. Anyway, back to Nintendo at E4. I don't know if any of us are going to go to E4. I might go if class permits. But I'm definitely not paying to go.
Well, it's in October. I think that's kind of the problem, is that you get the sense that because it's in October, that's why a lot of publishers are maybe more okay to present at this thing, whereas with E3 they weren't, because E3 is a development milestone and they're showing betas and things can get backlash. Whereas in October, all of your holiday games are basically finished. So they're going to be showing a lot of games that are coming out a week or two from then, or games that most likely will be able to be purchased directly from the exhibitor booth. Or it'll be kind of boring stuff that came out a couple months before that, but maybe the average person who goes to the show hasn't had a chance to play it yet.
I'm right. just waiting for this show to actually be, so I can't pass judgment on something I don't know anything about, really.
Yeah, I mean, for the consumer, it seems like a nice thing, you know? It seems like a fine idea. Coming from the press, and for people who are interested in seeing games way early so they can get hyped up about them, etc., not that interesting from that coming from that perspective. But for somebody who wants to try a lot of games to help them decide what to buy this holiday season, it sounds like a fine thing.
Yeah, I miss a big convention in the summer where they explain, they make the announcements, what E3 was.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, E3 still is, but...
Sort of, and not
it's
really.
It's, like, very vague, and no one really knows...
It's disjointed. It's not one centralized area where everyone can be and see everything by walking around, talk to the different people, you know, the presenters.
Right.
That
kind of sentiment has been going around the game industry now for years. I mean... It's to the point where every major games festival is like its own mini E3. You guys remember Leipzig back in the summer?
Mm-hmm.
That's like that was like an obscure German consumer show that no one had even heard of the year before. But because it was it took place a few months after E3 was quote unquote killed, you know, it was this big thing, and Nintendo even announced two games there.
Yeah, and I think they announced a release date, too, there, or something mm-hmm. like that.
Exactly. And then there was, GDC has just been getting bigger and bigger each year. I mean, look at this year. Nintendo didn't do too much, but look who was there. I mean, Shigeru Miyamoto, there was Goichi Suda. Everybody was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Goichi Suda is like a major celebrity in the gaming world.
You don't know him.
You don't know him like I know him. I'm not saying anything about the quality of his games, but I mean... To put him in the same sentence with Miyamoto is a little absurd. I'm going to guess that Suda51's presentation at GDC was not even well attended. I mean, this guy makes really obscure, strange games.
Speaking of wrestling, before he was actually part of a wrestling franchise called Fire Pro Wrestling, where he killed the main character at the end, committed suicide.
Yeah, Fire Pro is legendary among certain circles. Yeah,
it's big.
Anyway,
I don't think we have anywhere else to go.
Okay.
We don't have anywhere else to go with this topic, so let's cut to another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about our feature.
Surely all of you know the hit game on the GBA called Area of Sorrow on the Castlevania franchise. But now, straight from Germany's premier artist, Jonathan Metzes, this is the Area of Sorrow voice jams. Take it in. Oh yes, spin it, Johnny. Spin it like you like to rock it. Yes, from Germany's premier artist. This is totally a masterpiece. I love it so much, I wish I could marry it. Make little Castlevania, boys. Okay, song is over!
Alright, and we're back for the feature. Making the jump. With Cooking Mama coming to the Wii and DS, which other portable games / series would you like to see that make the jump from handheld to console? Johnny, I'm going to start with you.
Nintendogs.
Nintendogs?
Yep.
Isn't there already a Wii dog game?
It's called Dog Island, and I think Hudson made it, and it's crap.
Dog Island.
Yeah.
Dog Island.
Doesn't that sound wonderful?
Yeah.
No, I think Nintendogs for Wii is maybe already in development. I'm sure they've thought about it at least.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It makes a lot of sense, and, you know, Nintendogs is, like, one of the biggest selling games of the past 5 years, so obviously they're thinking about sequels.
Each of its versions is a million seller.
Oh, hey, I got one. I have one. Hmm. How about a real Pokemon game?
Hey.
Oh, that's not fair.
No, that is
fair. They haven't made a real Pokemon game in years.
No, that's totally fair, man. I mean, they attempted it on GameCube a couple times, but with pretty terrible results. So,
No one would love it more than I for Pokemon to evolve and make a real console showing, but just not going to happen.
Well, along the same lines, this has been said many times before, but Golden Sun would be nice.
Yeah.
At least a lot of people would be interested in it. I'd be interested in it if they completely overhauled the way the story is told.
Yeah, because wasn't Golden Sun, like, not that great?
Depends on who you ask. It has an interesting battle system and beautiful graphics and very good puzzles, but the story is awful. So
and some of the scenes go on forever.
Yes.
But as far as that coming to consoles, I mean, I think Camelot's still working on their massively multiplayer online golfing game. So, that's not a joke. That's for real.
I know, but it's still funny.
Yeah, but they, you know, they can make more than one game at a time.
The big problem, though, is for me not so much games that I'd like to see, you know, come from handheld to console, but games that started on console, then have flourished on handheld and haven't come back successfully to console, like Castlevania, 2D Metroid. Those.
Well, the thing about Castlevania is even that formula, from what people are saying, is getting kind of tired.
Well, and if you're going to rejuvenate it on a console, where you have more power and more freedom.
A lot of people are apparently getting tired of Castletroid, or Metroidvania, or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Whatever, people keep buying fighting games, and those are the same damn thing over and over.
Well, apparently they're not, because Virtual Fighter V only sold, like, two copies.
Well, I can totally appreciate the sentiment that the 2D Castlevanias need a breath of fresh air. They need to be completely reworked. But at the same time, there's a year between Castlevania games is long enough for me to get addicted to the formula over again. And as I'm playing it, I'm thinking, this is the same thing, but I still have to play it for like 10 hours a day for 3 days until I've played every mode all the way through. And it's just irresistible to me, but at the same time, I can definitely appreciate that, the game needs to do something different.
Well, and look what they did just from going from SNES to, you know, PlayStation when they did Symphony of the Night. I mean, it was the same thing, but they added so much more to it because they could.
Yeah.
You know, instead of focusing on what you can do with 3D, why not evolve what works best?
That's a fair question.
Take, for example, 2D Super Mario with Super Paper Mario. The fact that you can flip the world, that could make a huge difference in the way you play Super Mario and the way you see Super Mario Brothers, as opposed to just doing another 2D Super Mario. And that looks really cool.
Like they did with New Super Mario Brothers. Huh? Like they did with
New Super Mario Brothers was more of a reiteration with a couple new powers. But with Super Paper Mario, with that flip, it changes everything. One little thing.
Totally.
Stan, weren't you talking about Wario as well, making this jump?
Well, I was talking about Kirby, but Wario as well. I mean, they tried with Treasures.
No, they didn't really try.
How was that?
They put something out.
I
never played the game. How was it?
It's Wario World is boring.
it's bad.
It's not a real Wario game.
Yeah. Is it a hardcore shooter?
What?
Shooter.
Treasure made it, so isn't it? Is it like a hardcore shooter or something?
No, it's more like a brawler. It's kind of like a quasi 3D. Well, it is 3D, but it's like you basically run around and punch things and do I don't know, see, do a butt stomp. I mean, it's not really, it doesn't have anything to do with the amazing Wario Land series on Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
See, and now if Treasure had gone and put Wario into one of their other games like Gunstar Heroes or Astro Boy, I would have been way more interested.
Okay, fair enough.
That would have been fantastic.
But yes, a real Kirby game.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you want, Stan. And Johnny, I know you were mentioning WarioWare.
Well, I mean, obviously WarioWare has been coming to consoles, but I think it'd be nice if they brought a good one to consoles.
Not, so more than just a
the one on Wii is okay, but game. It's definitely not as good as Twisted or the original WarioWare or Rhythm Tengoku, I'm assuming, from what I've heard. So yeah. It just seems like they haven't really put a whole lot of effort, or it's not, well, not effort, but they haven't really packed in the content like they have with the handheld games. Because both of the console, well, the first console version is basically a port of the original GBA version, and it's kind of, it's still fun if you haven't played it already, but it's the same thing. And the Wii game is nice, but it's just very thin. I mean, after a couple days, there's not a whole lot to do with it anymore. Whereas the handheld games, they pack in tons of little toys and things to unlock, and you can play the games over and over for high scores, and you can unlock things that way, and it's just very, very robust experience.
Yeah, but it's also cheaper to do it that way on those handhelds, and that may be what kind of held them back a little on WarioWare for Wii.
Somehow I don't think Smooth Moves was like a really high budget game.
I don't think so either, but I don't know. I mean, there may have been something that made it a little bit more expensive. I can't think of any other reason why not to include so much more.
Because it was a launch game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
not
so,
in America, but it was in Japan.
Yeah, but in a way, so was Super Smash Bros. Melee, and that had tons.
Yeah, but that's a rare exception.
Yeah.
All right.
Still.
You know, what about some games that people are always talking about? Oh, bring this one to Wii, bring this one to Wii. How many? What about those that you disagree with? Now, for me, this would be Elite Beat Agents or Oenden. People are always saying, oh, make an EBA or an Oenden for Wii. I'm like, that would be a terrible idea.
Hmm.
That would not work in the least. Unless you were, like, a composer. But then that's just, it loses some of its finesse.
I think if they made it into a rhythm game that didn't have to do with dotting the screen, you know, something more like
that's what I'm talking
mix
about. Like,
between
if it
D
was
and
like,
R.
If it was something, you know, if it was something similar to that, but at the same time, Wii motion controls haven't gotten exact yet. Like, it still hasn't gotten to the point where you can make definitive movements where you're like, it's with a touchscreen, if you tap, it taps. Mm-hmm. But with the Wii, sometimes it'll mess up, and it for a game like EBA, like, you need to have every tap on point.
Right. Mm.
True.
So I don't think it would work.
And God forbid you try to use that pointer in a game like that.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
It would be a mess.
I would. Yeah, exactly. Terrible, terrible, terrible. But yeah, any games like that for you guys where you just don't, you want to see them stay on handheld?
I'm not a real big handheld player. So.
Medios? Mm-hmm.
Medios?
Yeah,
I don't think that would work either. Unless you made it like 3D. And like, it instead of being like, just sending them up, you had to send them in like certain directions.
Are you talking about making
that
Medios
might be
harder than it already is?
Yeah.
Because that's not a good idea.
Maybe making it more complicated, I don't know.
No.
It doesn't need to be more complicated either.
Make you think about
much
more.
It's Medios, it's all about that. But yeah. Any other games worth mentioning?
Britney's Dance Beat?
Oh,
right, and that's the end of the show.
Dude, that was a console game to begin with anyway.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
I only remember it on the
cheating. Handheld. I think it was for PS2 or something like that.
I just remember it coming out on Game Boy.
Alrighty, folks. Well, we're clearly at our wit's end here. So let's just go ahead and call it a day. As always, you can send listener mail to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com, and we will read it, as you have heard this show.
Did you say Nintendo?
Did I say Nintendo?
Yeah, I think you said Nintendo.
Read your friend Nintendo. Uh-huh. No.
Nintendo.
I meant to say Nintendo. But you can also reach us at the iTunes Music Store. Just go ahead and search Radio Free Nintendo or Nintendo, and you will find us. Yeah, I think that's about the end of the show, guys. Any last words?
It's a day.
It's a day.
Hit me, that's baby, a wrap. One more time.
No.
Oh, God.
No.
Yeah, let's not. Let's not hit you one more time. And if we do, it's going to be for death. But, alright guys, we will see you next time when Mike Sklenz might be back, but maybe not. Alright, later everybody.
Bye bye.
Hey, bye.